Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be in verse 3, 4, and 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. I'm going to put the scripture up on the screen. If you didn't have a Bible, don't have a Bible with you, and you'd like to follow along, you can do so. 1 Peter chapter 3. As a matter of fact, let's just read this out loud together. I'm going to put it up on the screen. Ready? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. I don't know where I read this, but I've seen this over the years many times. Man can last 40 days without food, 5 days without water, 5 minutes without air, but not 1 second without hope. Think for a moment about the last time you faced insurmountable odds. Now, I want you to think back to what it was. Maybe it was the breakup of a marriage. Maybe it was the death of somebody you love. Maybe it was the loss of a job. Maybe it was going to the doctor thinking you're going to hear one thing and you're going to hear something that's completely different. Maybe it's one of your kids or somebody in your family that has strayed away from what they know is the right thing to do, and now they've gotten themselves in a mess, their life. And you face these insurmountable odds, what looked like an impossible hill to climb, but then there's that quiet voice that whispers in your soul, what if tomorrow could be different? What if tomorrow could be different? What if this is not the end? What if this is just the end of a chapter? The beginning of another chapter? What if this is surgery, but I'll feel better? Hope. This voice is not wishful thinking, it's hope. I have a lot of respect for the Apostle Paul. I think he was a pretty good dude. I think he wrote some really good things that are in the Bible. They're inspired of God. And here's one of the things he wrote. Now abides faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. The greatest of those three is love, but in the top three, it's faith, hope, and love. I took part of my grad school class was to spend a week with Gene Getz going through his book, Sharpening the Focus on the Church. And he spent a whole week emphasizing several things, but one of the things he emphasized all through the week, and he's right, is we don't judge churches based on nickels and noses. You know, how many people were there? What's the budget? That's not how you judge the health of a church. He went through the epistles and showed us with every passage that the Lord judges a church by faith. How's their faith? He judges the church by their love. How's their love? And he judges the church by their hope. How's their hope? Faith, hope, and love. Hope, the feeling you have is not permanent. It will pass. It's just right now, it's really hard. How many of y'all took kids off to college and driving home, you were going, woohoo? No, you know what you were doing? That's what we did. We took Zachary to Augusta State, dropped him off. He was so excited he couldn't hardly speak. He was free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last, you know. It's like Tracy and I, we drove home with an empty Ryder truck. We stopped at the first Cracker Barrel we could find, and I bought a big bag of chocolate-covered cherries, and by the time we got home, those babies were gone. We rode in silence all the way home eating chocolate-covered cherries until we were sick and we were crying. And the stupid thing was, this was a Monday and he was coming home on Friday. But you feel like, okay, today is a bad day. Today is an insurmountable mountain that I don't even know how to climb. I don't even know what to do with this. But I have this feeling that it could be different. It's not wishful thinking. For the Christian, it's hope. Now, there's a difference between an earthly hope and a heavenly hope. Earthly hope decreases over time because it's based on situational ethics. It's based on your situation. You know, you go, you find out that things at work are kind of shaky and they're going to be cutting back, and you hope that you don't get caught in the cut. And so you make the first cut. So you keep your job, but some of your friends, they got the pink slip and they're gone. But you know things are not well at work. And you know they've got another one of these coming in 6 months. If things don't turn around, they're going to lay off a bunch more people, and you may be in that one. Your hope decreases over time because it's based on the circumstances. But for the Christian, your hope increases over time because it's based on the promises of God. The closer I get to heaven, the greater my hope, because I know sooner than later, I'm going to be with Jesus in a place where there is no more sin and sorrow and pain and crying and dying and death. So our hope increases over time. Remember, in this book, Peter was writing to Christians who were running for their lives. They had been blamed by Nero for the Rome burning, which they did not do, but he blamed it on them. And so they had to leave family, friends, jobs, homes, everything, grab what they could grab, throw it in their backpack, and off they go to go hide. And somehow in that, they found themselves up in these five provinces, which are now Turkey, and they're up there hiding, but they get this letter. These churches get this letter from this guy named Peter, the Apostle Peter, and he starts by saying, an apostle, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ to those chosen, and he gives the introduction we looked at last week. But then he says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Let me give you an outline where I'm going to walk through this. We're going to look at verse 3, verse 4, and then verse 5. There's the source of our hope. We're going to see that in verse 3. There's the source of our hope. In verse 4, you're going to see the nature of our hope. In verse 5, you're going to see the certainty of our hope. Okay, first, the source of our hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed, we're going to talk about that. That's one word I want to talk about. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to talk about that. His great mercy, I want to talk about that. So let me just kind of break these things down in verse 1. Blessed or blessed. That's the source of our hope is God our Father. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the source of our hope. Now, there's some words I want you to notice in verse 3. There's the word blessed. In the Greek language, there are two main words in the New Testament that we translate as blessed. One is Makarios. You see that one in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are you when men persecute you and revile you. Blessed are the peacemakers, they'll be called the children of God. That word blessed is Makarios, which means happy, to be congratulated. So what Jesus was saying in the Sermon on the Mount is blessed, happy, to be congratulated are the people that are poor in spirit. Why should they be congratulated? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You look at all of those Beatitudes and you have the statement and then you have the reason they should be blessed or happy or to be congratulated. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? For they should be filled. So be happy about that. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the peacemakers. Why? For they should be called the children of God. So you have that word, blessed, Makarios. But this word is the other main word in the New Testament where we translate it the word blessed or blessed. It is the word eulogius, which means to eulogize or eulogy. That means to praise, to celebrate, to speak well of. This Friday, over at Perimeter Church, they are going to have a memorial celebration of life service for Jeff Orwick. Jeff was one of our elders here. Jeff went to be the Lord a couple of months ago, and I'm going to be a part of that service. I'm going to do the beginning and the end, and then they have the pastor, that one of the pastors there is going to do it, and then his brother-in-law is also going to do it. So there'll be three of us involved in this. I'm doing the first and last. But what we're going to do, we're going to get together, and we are going to eulogize Jeff. We are going to praise Jeff and the God who saved Jeff. We are going to speak well of Jeff. That's what the word eulogy means, to praise, to celebrate, to speak well of. And Peter said in this verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he was saying, I want to say a word of praise for God the Father. I want to praise God the Father. I just need to say this up front in my letter. Blessed. I want to eulogize. I want to praise the Father. I want to speak well of him because he deserves it. Does God the Father deserve to be praised? Does he deserve to be spoken well of? Does he deserve to be in a good way? Now, God never dies, but eulogize him? That's what this means. To speak well of. The next thing I want you to notice is Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people that believe in Jesus. They believe in the man, Jesus the man. They may say, you know what, I don't even know if I believe in God or not. I don't know if I believe the Bible or believe in God or the church or anything like that. But I do know that based on history, there was this guy named Jesus that lived. Okay, so I believe in the man. Yeah, Jesus. I believe he lived. But you take it another level, Christ. That's the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the one that God the Father sent to save us from our sins. There is no salvation. There is no name under heaven given by men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. You cannot find mercy and grace and salvation without the Messiah. The Messiah is none other than, he's not one of many choices, he is none other than Jesus Christ himself. So there's one thing to know Jesus is the man. There's another thing to take it another level and recognize that Jesus is Christ. But then you take it another level. Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus the man, Lord the Messiah. Jesus the man, Christ the Messiah, Lord the Majesty. Now why is this important? Because in Colossians, I put the reference up here. In Colossians chapter 2 verse 6, it says this. As you have now listen carefully to the pattern of the words. As you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. Walk in who? The Lord. It's not enough to believe that Jesus is a guy. I don't think it's enough to even believe that Jesus was sent by God to be the Savior of the world. Have you put your faith and trust in him as your Lord? Because it's at that point where you are truly born again. Now, where do we get that? Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So Peter was trying to encourage these people and say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, Majesty, Jesus, man, Christ, Messiah. Because of his great mercy. Great mercy. I love the way the Holy Spirit works. The worship team had no idea I was going to need Ephesians chapter 2. So they just went ahead and read it for us. But you find that in his mercy. Don't go there, but let me just read this to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you who are dead in trespasses and sin, in which you previously lived according to the ways of this world, according to the rulers of the power of the air, the Spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. But God, who is rich in mercy, God who is rich in mercy. There are two other references here. Let me just give you. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and read them. Okay, I'm going to read them. Ephesians. I just read that one. I'm not going to read that one again. I'll read this one. Titus 3, 4, and 5. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy. What is mercy? The Greek word for mercy is eleos, which means pity. It means leniency. It means compassion. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ because of His great pity, because of His great leniency, because of His great compassion. Without mercy, the full weight of a mistake, of a sin, or a crime is fully felt by a human being. The thing that is between you and the thing that is between us and the punishment of a holy, just God is mercy. It's pity. It's mercy and grace. It's not that God is an angry God. God is holy. God is completely 100% pure and holy. We are completely 100% impure and unholy. We can't reach Him, and He won't come down to us. And so what is there to bridge the gap? It is mercy. It is the mercy of God given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want mercy from God, you have to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one way to get the mercy of God, and only one way to get the mercy of God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Pity, leniency, compassion. Without the mercy of God, you feel the full blow of God's wrath. Without the mercy of God, you feel the full weight of the mistakes you've made, the sins you've done, the crimes you've committed. You feel the full weight of all of it. It is only by the mercy of God that we survive. What is God's mercy? Mercy is when God doesn't give me what I do deserve. Grace is when God gives me what I don't deserve. Kind of fun, isn't it? God gives me His grace. I don't deserve it. He gives it to me anyway. I do deserve punishment for my sin, but God gives me His mercy in that He does not give me what I do deserve. Who got what I do deserve? Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary, got what I deserved. He paid a debt He did not owe. And I owed a debt I couldn't pay. And it's only by the mercy of God. And Peter was reminding these people of this in his letter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of His great mercy He's given you a new hope. New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's important. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope is anchored in a historical person and a supernatural event. Jesus Christ really lived. Jesus Christ really died. Jesus Christ really rose. Jesus Christ really ascended to heaven. Jesus Christ is really at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus Christ really will come back one day to take His children home to be with Him. It's real. It is a historical person and a supernatural event combined in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're going to look at verse 4 now. The nature of this hope. The Bible says in Romans 8, we are heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ into an inheritance that is four things. And I want you to notice this: imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you. There's four different things here. Imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. So let's talk about these four. There's the imperishable or incorruptible. I'm not going to give you the Greek words, but I'm going to give you the meaning of the words. Like, what did they, when Peter wrote this letter to them, and they got this letter, and they read these words, what did they hear? What did they read into those words? I'm going to tell you what they read into those words. based on the culture, based on the grammar of the Greek. Imperishable or incorruptible, this is a word they used which meant unravaged by any invading army. Unravaged by any invading army. This inheritance that we have given to us by God through His mercy extended through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, this incorruptible mercy cannot be taken away by any invading army or any invading people. Number two, undefiled. This meant a land that has not been polluted or defiled by any conquering army. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of like World War II or any of that. You see the devastation that armies, military do when they go into a place and they just destroy stuff. And then they spend decades trying to rebuild that city or rebuild that community or rebuild that part of the world. He says that your inheritance is not only imperishable and incorruptible, it's undefiled, that it will never be polluted or defiled by a conquering army. It will not be unravaged by an invading army. Number three, unfading. It paints a picture of a land without change or decay. We moved to Winder to get away from buildings and traffic. And you know what's happened? Everybody in Barrow County is going, this is turning into Gwinnett County. We moved out there, and across the street from our subdivision was 500 acres of deer and horses. You know what there is now? 900 houses being built across the street. That invading army horde has destroyed our dream of deer and antelope playing, where seldom is heard a discouraging word. Lots of discouraging words in our neighborhood right now. Oh, man. It's fun for us. Like, Tracy's in Illinois right now, and it's still, like, acres and acres of farmland, as far as your eye can see. But around here, when you see a piece of land that has not been corrupted by tractors and earth-moving equipment, isn't it nice? I want you to think about your inheritance this way. Peter used the word unfading. It paints a picture of a land without change or without decay. That your inheritance is not going to change. It's not going to decay. And one more thing. Preserved or kept in heaven. Let me break it down for you this way. It's imperishable. It's death proof. Cannot decay, rot, or ruin. It is sin-proof, undefiled. It is completely pure and unpolluted by the brokenness and evil of this world. Your inheritance of God is not being affected by this world. Now, I want you to think about this. Our retirement, our savings, our Social Security kind of is, who knows? You hope you've got it in the right places. You hope you've invested wisely. You hope you've saved wisely. But everybody knows that things change. Your inheritance in Christ is untouchable. It doesn't matter what the stock market does. It doesn't matter what the interest rates are. If they raise it, if the feds raise it, lower it, doesn't matter. It is sin-proof, completely pure, unpolluted from this world. It is unfading. That's time proof. It never loses beauty, glory, or joy. Never loses beauty. You ever look in the mirror? Things change. It just does. You ever look at a young person or a kid running around and you go, wow, Every once in a while I pass, and I don't look at it. I mean, I just, you know, you kind of have pictures all over the house. Tracy's got a picture of me when I was like 3. I was absolutely adorable. I mean, just stinking cute as a button. And then I look at that picture, then I look at in the mirror, and I go, oh, there you are. There you are. I remember you. The fact is, things change. But understand, your inheritance is unfading, which means it's never going to lose its beauty, its glory, or its joy. And the last thing is reserved, kept in heaven for us. This is loss proof. It has your name on it. No one can ever claim it. No one else can claim your inheritance. Nobody else can come in and go, well, that's mine. I want that. No, can't have it. Your inheritance is your inheritance. Your inheritance is not my inheritance. I can't have your inheritance, nor do I want your inheritance any more than I want you to have mine. Right? It's death proof. It's sin proof. It's time proof. It's loss proof. Now let's look at the last verse in the certainty of our hope. Verse 5. You are being guarded. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You are being guarded. Depends on what translations you look at, but guarded in the ESV, it also uses that in the Christian Standard Bible. Shields. Shielded in the NIV. If you have an NIV, it's shielded. If you have an Amplified Bible, it's garrisoned. And that's what the word means. That the certainty of our hope is guarded, it's shielded, it's garrisoned. Here's what it means. God's omnipotence is the fortress that is surrounding your soul. What is protecting my inheritance? What is protecting my faith? It is the omnipotent power of God Almighty that has surrounded my soul. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said it this way, I know who I've believed in, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul said in Philippians, being confident of this thing, very thing, that he who began a good work will continue it to the day of Jesus Christ. You and I are being guarded, shielded, garrisoned with the omnipotence of God. Jesus said it this way, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You are as safe as the triune God, as the Father is, as the Son is, as the Holy Spirit is. You are guarded. Your inheritance is guarded, it's shielded, it's garrisoned, it's helped. It's held together by the omnipotent God. God's omnipotence is the fortress surrounding us. Our hope is a living bond to a risen Savior. That's our hope. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds my future. Life's worth living just because He lives. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. And all other ground is sinking sand. If you are standing on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, you're going to be fine. If you're standing on anything else, you're in trouble. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, please do not leave this place today without talking to me or grab somebody and go, I'm not sure what John said. I don't even know if I believe that or not, but I want to. Before you leave this building, you can know for sure that if you died, you go to heaven because you have put your faith and your trust in the resurrected, Lord Jesus Christ, who is our only hope. Christ in you, the of glory. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this truth. Thank you that Jesus is our hope. Thank you that when our world is falling apart, that we can turn to you. You have garrisoned us in your omnipotence. You have garrisoned us in your omnipotence. You have shielded us. You have guarded us. You do guard us. It's as good as done. It's already happened. It's not like you're going to do it one day. You've already done it. We just need to trust that by faith. We love you and we thank you for the promises of your word. Thank you for this precious book of 1 Peter and the promises it gives us in our faith. When we are suffering, when we are struggling, when we are dealing with difficult stuff, we have a place we can turn and know that our inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, unfading, reserved in heaven for us who are being guarded by the omnipotent power of a resurrected Christ. Thank you for this. And it's in the name of Jesus, our resurrected Christ, we pray these things. Amen.
Great message this morning. And our benediction for today is, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, all that is pleasing to him. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thanks, everyone. Have a great rest of your week.